Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning what God's Word says about standing against the wiles of the devil. The message is called Running to Meet the Enemy, so let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel 17 as we go back to basics.
I just came back from Europe, as you know, and thank you for those of you that prayed for us. We did have a fantastic trip. But I'll tell you, one of the things that was very, very clear to me when I was there was the magnitude of the battle that we're in all around the world. But there was a real sense of opposition, a real sense of oppression. Even a few days before we headed out for the trip, I just felt myself coming under this oppression. And it lasted all the way through the few weeks that we were there. And I just sensed, you know, the enemy does not want us here. He doesn't want us doing what we're doing. He doesn't want us encouraging people. He doesn't want us building them up in the faith. He doesn't want these churches here. He doesn't want these conferences. He doesn't want these outreaches. And I came home with a deeper sense that, man, we need to pray. We need to pray to drive back the enemy, to beat him back. And again, Scripture indicates to us that that's what can happen when God's people pray. You remember the story in the Gospels where there was a young boy who was demon-possessed, and the disciples of Jesus, they were really incapable of dealing with the situation. So Jesus had to come and deliver the boy from demonic possession. And the disciples, they asked the question, Lord, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said, first of all, because of your unbelief. First of all, you just didn't believe. He said, but secondly, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. And that is such it's a revelatory statement there. It tells us something that we need to know. It tells us that in order for the enemy's grip to be loosened sometimes, there has to be serious prayer accompanied by fasting for that power to be broken. We had a call on Friday in the radio program, Cheryl and I, a lady asking about fasting and prayer. And quite honestly, if she would have called 3 or 4 years ago, I don't know that I could have really given her a sufficient answer. Because up until about 3 or 4 years ago, I didn't engage in fasting too often. Occasionally here and there, I'd get a headache about halfway through the day and decide, oh, I got to eat something. But you know, a few years ago, the Lord really began to put on my heart the need to fast. He began to show me how critical it is and how vital it is. And so we began to develop somewhat of a habit of fasting in our lives. But I see this connection. And you know, as we look in our culture today, as we look at our young people and what's going on in our world, the devil has a stranglehold on our culture. And this isn't going to be broken by us just, you know, simply wishing it was. It's not going to be broken by us just, you know, attending church faithfully. It's only going to be broken if we really begin to engage the enemy in battle in this area of prayer. And so I want to implore you once again, get engaged in prayer. Get involved in a prayer meeting. All you need is two or three people. Two or three friends, take an hour a week, if it's on the phone, if it's, you know, getting together somewhere, but just begin to call out to God and ask him to break the grip of the devil over this land. Ask him to break the grip of the devil in the lives of people that you know. Ask him to set the captives free. One of the early church leaders wrote this about prayer. He said, "The potency of prayer has subdued the strength of fire. It has bridled the rage of lions, hushed anarchy to rest, extinguished wars, appeased the elements, expelled demons, burst the chains of death, expanded the gates of heaven, alleviated diseases, repelled frauds, rescued cities from destruction." Man, that's the kind of thing we need to see happen today. He attributed it to prayer. See, back in the early days of the church, they didn't have a lot of financial resource. They didn't have any political power or clout or anything like that. They were a small, despised minority. But this is what they saw happening through prayer. And so if we're going to engage with the enemy, if we're going to see the enemy defeated and driven back, it's going to begin with prayer. But secondly, there is also a major need for love and good works in the name of Jesus. Love and good works in the name of Jesus. Some people have, you know, you always deal kind of in the life of the church, you tend to always deal with extremes. And a lot of times people are on one extreme or the other. And so we've had that. We've got the, sort of the one extreme where people are engaged in what they call, used to call a social gospel. Now they talk about social justice. And they're concerned to just, you know, help the poor and to alleviate oppression and all of that. And they're very reluctant to mention the name of Jesus. And then you've got the other extreme over here who says, you don't need to help the poor. You don't need to try to deliver people from social injustices and so forth. All you need to do is witness to people. You know, the reality is you got to get in the center here, in the middle. The Bible says both things. They go hand in hand. They're not separated from one another. And all throughout the scripture, whether it's Jesus or the apostles or the early church, we see them reaching out in Jesus' name through love and good works. You see, because here's what love and good works do. They silence the adversary and it breaks the satanic stereotype. Now, Satan has convinced people that Christians are unloving, that they're really nothing more than judgmental bigots. And a lot of people hate Christians and hate the church, and they don't even really know why. But you see, these kinds of things, love and good works, they go a long way to soften hearts and to open ears to the hearing of the gospel. I read an amazing thing yesterday in a magazine that I get regularly. A friend of mine wrote an article in it, and he was talking about his experience recently. He was told by somebody about these two comedians that are blasphemous, atheistic comedians who their whole routine is basically a mockery of God. And so he was challenged by somebody to watch it and to kind of come up with a rebuttal to some of what they said. So he watched it and he said it really disgusted him. And afterwards he thought, you know, man, if I saw those guys, I just, you know, I surely wouldn't want to be loving to them at all. But he said then an amazing thing happened. He was reading up on them, and one of the comedians told the story of how a man came up after one of their shows, very sincere, very loving, complimented them on much of what they did, and lovingly and sincerely looked him in the eyes and handed him a New Testament and said, "I would love to give this to you as a gift, and I'd love for you to read it." And this atheistic, blasphemous comedian was so impacted by the sincerity of this individual that it just moved him to the point that he had to write about it. And my friend in the article, he just said, "Man, you know, I was convicted." But you see, it was just reaching out in love that softened the heart and turned the mind. Now, this guy didn't become a believer, but as I read kind of what he wrote in response to this man reaching out to him, it seems like he might be on the path ultimately to receiving the Lord. So it's through reaching out in love. It's through doing good works. I'm so excited about this outreach that Tommy was sharing with us about. And again, because this is the way the skeptics and the critics and those who are cynical about the Christian faith, when they see Christians out there just giving of themselves freely, lovingly, not looking for anything in return, not doing it ostentatiously like, hey, look at me, aren't I righteous? But just humbly reaching out to people, this softens people's hearts. It opens them up to the gospel. The accusation so often is that, oh, you Christians, you don't really care about people. You're just trying to get people saved. Well, of course, we are trying to get people saved because we know that's the best expression of love and care for anybody is to be concerned about their eternal state, to be concerned about their soul, which is going to go on forever. But in the process, we shouldn't necessarily forget their bodily needs and try to help on that level. So we've got this outreach coming up. We're doing, you know, ministry in Haiti, following up with the earthquake there, and all of these different things that we do, as Paul would say, it's the love of Christ that's motivating us to do these things. And with these various catastrophic things that have happened, whether it be the earthquakes or the tsunamis or the hurricanes, you know, what's been powerful is that in each of these communities, the Christians generally have left a very good fragrance. When the state has pulled out, when the feds have pulled out, everybody's still frustrated and nothing's really, you know, improved their plight. They found that the church is still there in ministering, and many people have been greatly impacted by that. And so it's through these kinds of things that we drive the devil back, in the sense that we break down those arguments and those mythologies that are built up in people's minds about what Christians are like, the stereotype that Satan so often gives. But then thirdly, and ultimately, there is the proclamation of the gospel. This is the primary thing. And all of our prayer and our love and good works are really there to sort of undergird the great commission of getting the gospel to people. The proclamation of the gospel. This is what's going to make a difference. This is where the enemy is going to be driven back. Paul said in writing to the Romans, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. You see, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. That's why it's so vitally important that we, each and every one of us, are engaged in some way in getting the gospel out. In some cases, it's going to be supporting efforts to get the gospel out financially. In some cases, it's going to be being involved with those efforts ourselves personally. And of course, I'll talk about it more in a moment, there is that need for us individually, not just collectively as the church or with a mission team or whatever, but us individually seeking to spread the gospel. But let me talk to you just real quickly about some of the outreaches. As I mentioned before we left for Europe, we had this fantastic outreach again down in Huntington Beach, Beachside Summerfest, our sixth year of doing that. It took us 5 years to get the permit to get down there. And every single year they reconsider whether or not they want us to do it again. I know it's a little hard for them to know that the gospel is just being blared out all day long. But, you know, God has been good, and they renew our permit every year. But it's an amazing thing. We get to go out there, and thousands of people, and as I think I mentioned before, the city happened to schedule a professional volleyball tournament at the same time, so we had a crowd like 10 times the size that we would normally have. But we got to preach the gospel all day long. This is what we've got to do. We've got to get the gospel out to people. And Dave mentioned these exit events that Rawl's doing. I'm particularly excited about these because it's sort of a covert effort. They're going into communities, hardcore places, Las Vegas, LA, places like that, and they're just inviting everybody in. They've got a couple of the musicians, Sonny Sandoval from POD and Brian Head from the band Korn, who got saved, these guys have put together bands. So they go out and advertise to all of these young, just, you know, radically lost kids to come on to a concert with these guys. They don't necessarily tell them that they're going to get the gospel preached to them. And, you know, I've seen on the videos some of the reaction. You know, some people are so mad. It's like, how dare you get me in here under false pretenses? What is this Jesus thing? I didn't come here for that. And, you know, they're throwing stuff at Rawl and they're cussing him out, you know. And he's just up there smiling and preaching. And I think, man, that's great. That's what we need to do. We need to get the gospel out to people. And then, of course, we've got this event that you've heard so much about, Creation Fest. And that's really what it is. It's kind of a double event where we're getting the gospel to people, but we're also seeking to build up Christians who are desperately needing strength in their faith. So we've got outreaches. We've got campus ministry. Boy, we need to reach the next generation. We're getting older and older, and the next generations, these are the kids that they need to be reached by the Lord. They're as lost as they've ever been. And, you know, it astounds me, really, to talk to kids today and to see where they're at. And, you know, the astounding thing is to me is that they're exactly where I was when I was 17, 18 years old. The crazy thing is they're listening to the same music. They're doing the same drugs. It's just like, oh, we just kind of come right back around again. But we've got to reach these kids. Campus ministry. We want to get debates and lectures going on campuses. And we've got guys on staff whose primary objective is to get on these university campuses and college campuses and establish a beachhead there. We've got this great opportunity that we've shared with you before, gospel media outreach or global media outreach, where people are going on the internet. Millions of people every day go on the internet. I want to find God, looking for God. And when they go on and, say, do a Google search for God, there's a number of websites that'll come up, and those websites will connect them to the gospel, and if they're interested, they will connect them to an individual person that will share personally the gospel with them and help follow up and disciple them and even point them to a church. We're partnering with Global Media Outreach here at our fellowship, and we've got some 30 people right now that are doing this internet evangelism ministry, but any one of you could be involved in this. And it's just a few minutes each day or as much as you would like to be involved. But it's a great way. But you see, these are the things that we need to be involved in. We have opportunities to go out on the street and evangelize. Now, not everybody feels comfortable doing that. And I don't think everybody's necessarily called to do that. But you never know. You might have a calling that you haven't really realized yet. And you might go out and try it. And you realize, man, God's really calling me to do this. He's gifted me to do this. But finally, in regard to the proclamation of the gospel, we've got to remember each and every one of us are called to share the gospel with others. Each and every one of us are called to share the gospel. And, you know, don't worry about what you don't know. Just share what you do know. And if you only know what happened to you, you were blind and now you see, just share that with people. That's what the man in John chapter 9 did. They wanted a theological treatise from him. He said, I don't know anything about that. I just know this. I was blind, now I see. And so sometimes people say, well, I can't talk to people because I don't know what to say. Just tell them what God has done for you. But look for those opportunities. Pray for those opportunities. Quite honestly, this week, as I sat down and, you know, we've been on this long trip and everything, and as I was kind of thinking about what I was going to teach on this morning, and I knew I wanted to talk about evangelism, I just thought to myself, you know, Lord, I was on that trip. I never really engaged with a non-believer to speak of. I never really shared the gospel with anybody. I was doing conferences and teaching at churches and doing all kinds of other things and sat next to my wife on the plane, and she's already saved, so I didn't really have much to say to her. And but, you know, I was just feeling like, Lord, I need to share with somebody. And I was praying, Lord, I just pray. You know that that's my heart. You know that's what I want to do. Would you just open a door? I am not kidding. And less than an hour later, I went to get a coffee that morning. And a girl that I've known for a couple of years, she knows I'm a Christian. She knows I'm a pastor. I know that she grew up in went to a Christian school. But suddenly, she just wants to talk. And we ended up in an hour and a half conversation. And it was absolutely amazing just getting to really, for an hour and a half, just share the gospel with her and just really try to clear up so many of these, you know, misconceptions in her mind. I believe in Jesus, she said, but I also believe in reincarnation. I believe in Buddhism. I believe that any sexuality is fine, you know, and all this. So, okay, well, let's talk about that. And let's see why that reasoning is faulted. So, you know, going back to David as our example, as we just run to meet the enemy, here's what we find. The Lord will meet us there. One last quick story. Yesterday morning, I went to buy some strawberries at the strawberry stand, and I talked to the lady for a second, and I went back to my car, and I felt like the Lord said, you needed to share with her. So I had one of my little books in the car, so I got out, and I said, hey, I want to give you this. Maybe you don't, you know, get bored today. Maybe you want to read something and explain to her what it was. And she looks at me, she goes, I need prayer right now. And then she proceeds to tell me about this young girl who's a drug addict and all of this stuff, you know. And, I ended up praying with her. She ends up giving me this big hug, you know. I'm just buying strawberries. This is, but I'm telling you that story for this reason. You know, we say, Lord, I we need to see more people saved. And where are those opportunities? I think the opportunities are, they're there. But are we rushing into them like David did? Are we taking those steps of faith? And that's the last point as we close today. You see, what you see with David is faith. David had absolute confidence that Goliath was going to fall. David, there was no doubt in his mind that this enemy of God was destined for defeat that day. And so David, in faith, he rushes out to meet Goliath. And we know the rest of the story. I demonstrated it for you earlier. Goliath was defeated. And so likewise, as we take steps of faith, see, this is a thing I have found, and maybe you have too. It might look like there's no opportunity. It might look like the door's closed. It might look like nobody's open. So we stand back and we don't move forward. But I found once you take the step, you realize, oh, it's more open than I realized. So this is our part. God prepares the hearts of people. He prepares these things from the events right down to the individual opportunities. But as we pray and as we make ourselves available and as we just say, Lord, here I am, use me. And then as we take that step of faith, this is what we find. God has already gone before us to meet us. And there we have that opportunity. We're not responsible to make people Christians. We can't convert anybody. We don't even have to lead somebody to Christ. But we are called to scatter the seed. We are called to just share the word, to let people know that there's a God who loves them and there's a God who wants to save them. And so may God help us to do that. David had absolute confidence in his God. We can have absolute confidence because we've already been told by the Lord, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We don't have to ask the question, Lord, do you want us to do this? Lord, do you want to save people? The Bible already makes it crystal clear that that's what he wants to do. So let's engage the enemy. Let's engage him in prayer. Let's engage him through love and good works in the name of Jesus. And let's engage him by getting the gospel to people. But remember, if I'm all entangled by the flesh, I'm not going to be able to engage the enemy. So first of all, let's make sure we've got the victory. And remember, it's ours for the taking. Just simply obey. Do what God said. Consecrate yourself. Set yourself apart. He'll meet you right there. Ask him to strengthen you spiritually so you can be disciplined and know that he will meet you and he'll do that for you.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, but if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Running to Meet the Enemy, and the resource number is OBB521. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.